word to you from God to my heart, to yours. I want to catch up our thoughts in the Gospel of John and chapter 16. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be stumbled or offended. They shall put you out of their synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Amen. Just because I got to make a break, I'm making it there. Not because the rest of these wonderful words aren't gloriously powerful and we need to know exactly what the Lord is saying here, but it was this thought of following Jesus. You see, I'm going, he said. Well, have you ever stopped to ask yourself, well, where was he going? Where was he going? I mean, he kept on saying to people, follow me, didn't he? Well, at least he gave the invitation very powerfully to some. Others felt attracted to him. This is what he said, I am the light of the world. And people were attracted to the light. But if the light is shining in the darkness, what in the world is he attracting us to? And where is this light leading us? This then is a great thing to ask our own hearts. He was going somewhere. He kept saying, follow me. Where was he going? Where was he going? He did want us to follow him. I don't know whether you want to follow him. I don't know whether I want to follow him. At least I do. But I mean in the beginning, when we start. And perhaps it may be that it would be good for us to project ourselves right out of the sort of traditions of the church and the sort of traditional sermons that might be preached around the truth of following Jesus, and put yourself right back there in the beginning when suddenly a new light dawned on the world. There had been a light before him, John Baptist. John Baptist was a light. Jesus said he was. He was a burning and a shining light. And all Israel went out to him and were baptized of him in Jordan. But he didn't say, follow me. He wasn't trying to show them a light to lead them somewhere. He was just a light. And people went to him. But when Jesus came, and because of the greater light, Jesus, John Baptist shone to bring them to the greater light, and then said, I must decrease and he increase. And because he was that light to lead to the Lord, he did. He abdicated and he... Jesus came. The greater light came. When he came, he said, now, follow me. When they started to follow him, you may remember, let's go back, shall we, into the first chapter of John's Gospel. The two disciples heard John Baptist speak in John chapter 1. And John Baptist had said in the preceding verse 36, behold the Lamb of God. This time he said it as Jesus was walking. So they started to follow him. John had never been walking. John was stationary. Poor old John, wonderful John, he got stuck by Jordan. Never get stuck there. He got stuck at water baptism. Never get stuck there. Jesus came, then walked on. And they started to follow him. And then Jesus turned round to bring these two men to their senses. What are you seeking? Do you know what you're really doing when you're following me? What are you really after? Are you sure you want to follow me? Really? Now this is the big and wonderful challenge that comes to all our hearts. I know that if you're well instructed, as I was as a young lad, you will be able to hear the sort of follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Seemed to be the sort of thing that filled my heart, my ears in those days. But I must confess that fishing never thrilled me. I've never been one of these people that can sit by a river and just let it roll past my feet. I can't do that. I think I have to jump in. I would if it wasn't. It was so cold, that was the trouble. And I never really liked it. Hallelujah. I'm glad that our Jesus isn't a John Baptist. I'm glad he's a Jesus Baptist, because he baptizes in something that's warm called fire. And that's much better for me, personally. When he baptized me in fire, he melted me, because my name was North. And my heart was hard. And he melted me. And only when he melted me could he mould me into what he wanted me to be. That's why some people aren't what God wants them to be. They've never been baptized in fire. You have to be baptized in fire. Even if you're pure gold, you're no good as a lump. Just as a lump, you've got to be melted and moulded. And until you're baptized in fire, you can't be. Have you ever thought about that? if not, you think. Everything that God does makes common sense by heavenly standards. And so the Lord approaches us and he talks to us. But as I say, I'm never one really for sort of sitting by rivers, and I'm very glad that Jesus started to walk. And he's walking and he's going somewhere. Did you ever think? Suppose you thought, well, now this is lovely. If he walks to Capernaum, I'll follow him there and I'll see him do some marvellous miracles at Capernaum. If he walks by the Sea of Galilee, I'll follow him there. It's great, he might call my friend John and James. If my name's Peter, he might call those as well, and we're friends in the fishing business. We'll follow him there. And we'll follow him up onto the mount where he'll sit down and he'll teach us. And he'll open his mouth and it'll be blessed to hear him, for the thing that'll fall out of his mouth when he opens his mouth will be blessed. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are ye when mentioned. Oh, and all the happiness of his heart will come out, for you know that the word blessed is really happy. And Jesus was such a joyful soul and such a happy man under all circumstances. And it was so wonderful that he could bless and bless and bless. And they followed him and they kept following him. He was really going somewhere. But you know, I turn to chapter 8 in John's Gospel, and I read this. Verse 12, Jesus speaking again. He says unto them, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. How about that? Do you want that? How to live properly? Do you want that? How to really live properly? Mind you, the Pharisees, they made it a point of argument straight away. Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record's not true. Oh. They couldn't see that he was light because he was life. And his light was the outshining of his proper life. He was living properly. That is, he was living righteously, purely. He was living in communion with God. He was living without a shadow between himself and his Father. He said, if you follow me, you'll have the light of life. I don't know whether you're a Pharisee. I wouldn't think you were. And wanted to make an argument about it. What would you say if you were the woman beforehand? And in verse 11, you'd heard him say, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now, are you sure you want to follow him? Because you can't sin if you're going to. Go and sin no more. Are you sure? Am I sure that this is really what I want? Do you want a little sin? Just a little. Do you want a little of the world? Just a little, in that I wouldn't think you'd want a lot. In fact, you don't need much to spoil you. You don't need much to ruin everything that God wants to do with your life. Not much. Go and sin a little less. Did he say that? Or did he say, go and stop some sins? Go and sin no more. Now, are you sure you want to follow him? Do you think it would be possible to follow him on these conditions? Well, if this isn't one of the conditions, tell me the kind of condition you would expect Jesus to make. For you, I mean. What a precious thing. You follow me, he said. And you can have the light of life. Oh, glory. Turning your back on sin, if I understand, that verse 11 comes before verse 12. And follow me. Isn't this a precious thing? Mind you, I should have thought she would have wanted to. She'd heard him say, I don't condemn you. I love this thing. I really love this, don't you? You know, like I find it at the end of Romans 7 and the beginning of Romans 8. At the end of Romans 7, you've got a man there saying, oh, with the mind I myself serve the law, I serve the law of sin, but with my flesh, with my mind I delight in the law of God, I beg your pardon, with my flesh I serve sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Come into Christ Jesus, beloved. There's no condemnation about the other state. God knows you couldn't help being like that. So he doesn't condemn you. It's always so lovely. He doesn't stand up and start laying about him with a big stick. He never condemns anybody. But what he does, he gives an invitation to come into a much better, higher state. And if you hang about outside, then of course you'll run into condemnation at the end. This is the whole thing. He doesn't come and condemn you. Do you know, I've done some rotten things in my life, and I have been condemned and bawled out by some people. But he never has done that to me. I don't know how you found Jesus, but I love him because he's never done this to me. People have known the most about the worst things I've done have been the people who have condemned me most and said, you ought to have known better and you shouldn't have done it. But Jesus never has talked to me like that. Never. I suppose the human being felt that there ought to be some tongue given to something to dress me down. But Jesus has never done that. He hasn't. I don't know whether you found it like that, but I have. This is what I found. His heart's too big for that. His cross opened up great gaping wounds in God, and he can't talk except from that position anymore. And that's lovely. Not that he condones sin. As a matter of fact, he says this about sin. I suppose you and I ought to look at it fairly closely, because it's so clear here in this 15th chapter. He says, verse 22 of chapter 15, if I hadn't come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. See? Once Jesus speaks to you, you can't have a cloak for sin anymore. See, but there's difference between having no cloak for sin and being condemned for it. Nothing that Jesus says is to put a cloak over the top of sin, like some stupid creek preaching. You know, you're still wicked and rotten to the core, so God puts his cloak of righteousness round you. If ever there was a lie being preached in the name of the gospel, it's that. That's not true. God isn't put. Jesus isn't putting a cloak of words round you to deceive you and prove that he's only deceiving himself. He went to the cross and shed the blood of his inner veins and breathed forth the spirit of his inner soul and heart to purify you that way. That's rather different. Hallelujah. And when you're righteous, you shine up righteous from the heart out. And that's marvellous. And it's also wonderful, beloved. Do you really want to follow him? Do I really want to follow him? Can't have sin. He can't have it. He'll forgive you. If you're loaded with it, he'll forgive you. If you're stained with it, he'll wash you. If you're nature bent, and that means hell bent to it, he'll change that. That's what he talks about by new birth. That's a nature change. And the Lord moves us into a marvelous realm of this life. Amen. I'm going. Once he said to the Jews, he said, I go my way to him that sent me. And he's going, you see. They wanted him to go hit their way. That is sudden death by stoning. They were going to kill him. He said, no, he said, I'm going my way. You can't get rid of me. If you won't follow me, you can't stop me going where I say I'm going. And I'm going my way. Isn't that a marvelous thing? Well, do you want to keep following him? This is the big thing. Because, you see, in the end, it was found that these people that were following him didn't want to go his way at all. For he kept on walking, and he kept on walking, and at last he got them into an upper chamber, and he said, now let me wash your feet, for I want you to walk these last miles of the way. And they went through all the paraphernalia that was so real and true to his heart, but was also outward to him, to them. And he said, well, of course you won't know what I'm doing to you now, but you'll know afterwards, hereafter. He said, you'll know this. And people make big lessons of this, and preachers preach that we should wash one another's feet. And it's true, because Jesus said that. But they didn't see, most seem to miss this altogether. They hadn't got a clue, really, what he was talking about. Will you walk this last way with me? You see. Yes, Lord, we'll walk this way with you. Until they came to a certain place, and then that was that. They stopped. They wouldn't go this way in the end. They started out so bright and breezy. They started out so full of hope and anticipation. And it was all shattered because they didn't know what the way really meant. They didn't know what was behind such statements as this that we looked at when they heard him say, go and sin no more. I expect they went aside and said, did you hear what he said? He said, go and sin no more. It's impossible, you know. It's impossible. I mean, he's making demands, he's saying things like, I mean, Isaiah didn't talk like this, and Jeremiah didn't talk like this. He, and Moses didn't talk like this, and in fact Moses expected us to keep on sinning, because he said that when you do this, here's the offering to bring, go and get your lamb, go and get this and bring it, and all, it'll be okay again. And here he's saying, did you hear what he said? Go and sin no more, he said. Talk about standards. Hallelujah. When you hear Jesus talk like that, whatever you do, don't leave him. Keep walking. Especially if it's a mystery to you and you wonder how in the world it's ever going to be accomplished. Just keep walking. And then he'll sanctify your feet to walk the last distance with him. That's what he'll do if you'll go with him. And you know all about the story. Let's look at it, shall we? Going on in this Gospel of John. I'm in chapter 20. The resurrection chapter. Mary Magdalene is picked out. She comes, it's quite early, but she's still in the dark. She's still in the dark. Amen. And she sees something and runs away and tells somebody else. You know, there are plenty of people like this. They've got half, they've got half a message. They've seen something, they're still in the dark. Some people haven't got a half a message, they haven't got a quarter. They've got a little bit. They made out something in the dark, then they ran and told someone. See. All right. She's back again, and now she's more in the light, and she's broken-hearted in verse 11. And this time she sees a couple of angels. We go down the story, shall we? She turns herself back, verse 14, away from the grave. She has to turn her back on that. She turns herself back from all that. Hallelujah. There are some things that you can convert yourself from. Stop looking at them. Get your head out of the hole. It's a nasty, black, dark thing. Take your head out of it. Couple of angels in there. God's very gracious to light up some of our dark holes with his bright spirit. We turn ourselves back, and she sees Jesus. And she doesn't know that it's Jesus. You know, it's like that a bit, isn't it? Some people meet Jesus and they don't know it. That's right, you know. Well, of course, you see, this was before Pentecost. Well, after Pentecost, Saul of Tarsus met Jesus and didn't know it. Who are you, he said. He said, I am Jesus. That's right. Amen. It's a tremendous thing when you have a meeting with Jesus. And Jesus says to her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus saith unto her, Mary. And she turned herself properly this time and said unto him, Rabboni, that is to say, Master. Jesus said, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend to my Father, and your Father, and to my God, and your God. Hallelujah. I go my way to him that sent me. But you see, there's only one way to him that sent him, and it was his way. I go my way to him that sent me. But Lord, if you go your way to God, Father, our ideal, because this is what they'd said to him, those that had followed him quite a long way, they said, well, show us the Father. That'll be sufficient for us. That's we'll have arrived when we see your Father. We'd love to meet your Father. Amen. Well, he says, I'm going my way to my Father. So they say, well, we'll follow you. But when he really starts to go his way, they stop following him. And they run away. And all their calling seems to have disappeared. And if it wasn't for the grace of Christ and the fact that he didn't let go, who had first called them, I don't know where they would have gone. It has been prophesied in the Old Testament, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. That's right. And so the flock was scattered. All right. Jesus keeps on going his way. And you know why he went that way? Because it was the only way. And you know why he went that way? So that you could go that way. And you've got to go that way. And I've had to go that way. And everybody must go that way. That's right. Mind you, this is what he said. We'll go back in John's Gospel and we'll see it. At the end of the 13th chapter, that marvelous chapter where he washed their feet so that they could go this way and walk with him. You find this, he says, little children, verse 33, a little while I am with you, you shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come, so now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Oh dear. I hope nobody's going to turn round at me and say, you didn't go, did you? You big blustering Peter, you didn't go, did you? Instead of you going through with Jesus, you stopped, didn't you? Hope. Love one another, he said, will you?
Yeah.
I don't know anybody much that's really walked this way perfectly and never once stumbled and never sort of thought they couldn't go through, for you know, beloved, what this way is, don't you? It's a way called Gethsemane and Golgotha. And when you've gone Gethsemane and Golgotha, you'll know how really true it is that you're told to go and sin no more. you'll know. I'm going to give you a new commandment. He stops. He says, I said this to the Jews. I'm going to give you a new commandment. I'm ever so glad that the Lord Jesus used to sort of break off in the continuity of a thing and bring in the something that will sustain me so that I can hear the rest of what he's got to say. Hallelujah. He just stopped and he said, I'm going to give you a new commandment now, love one another. Don't look round saying, where were you, Andrew? And I'm not going to look round on old Thomas and say, where were you, Thomas? Why wasn't Thomas in the upper room? Well, it was because he was doubting Thomas. Why wasn't he there when Jesus rose? All the others were there. I'm not going to ask Thomas there. If I'm going to conjecture up anything, if I'm going to soak in the Spirit and let the Spirit take my mind after I've been soaking a long while and not dare to start thinking it out before then, when I've become saturated in the Spirit, and the Spirit can start informing my mind of what it's all about, I'll understand enough then not to turn round and throw bricks at Thomas. I'm going to love one another. You're a loved one another. See, this is what he says. This is how all men shall know that you are my learners, disciples, really means learner. You're my learners. That's all you are. You're my learners. It's lovely, isn't it? If you have love one to another. Simon Peter, he says, Lord, whither goest thou? You see? Why can't I follow you now? Jesus says, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. That's right. Amen. Peter did follow him afterwards. He followed him to Calvary in the Spirit. He followed him onto the cross in the Spirit. He followed him into the grave in Spirit. And he followed him out of it in Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory, glory be to the name of the Lord. I want to follow him all the way. I want to go through with him. I don't know many people who've gone through first time every time. And that's why I'm going to have love for everybody. I want to just to talk and just to understand and just to sympathize. Not with their refusal to go through, to insist that they should, but to understand why they don't. And love them, even if it seems to me they never will. Glory be to the name of the Lord. I send my Father. I'm going my way. Hallelujah. I'm going. There was no other way for Jesus. You'll never get there. Do you know where he was going? To my Father and your Father, to my God, to your God. And the glory that he had with him before the world was. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Isn't that a marvelous thing? If you're going to be in the glory that was before the world was, and if your life on earth is to be one of these marvelous lives of complete revelation of an inward glory that has wrapped you up with Jesus, you'll have to go through God. You'll have to go through. You can have the light of life then. And what is the light of life? Pray. It is the glory wrapped up in clay. That's the light of life. The glory that thou gavest me, I have given them. Now I'm coming to have the glory that I had with thee before I was a man and before the world was. Isn't this a precious thing then, beloved? The light of life. Follow me, it says. Follow me. Oh, hallelujah. You have followed him, have you? How far have you followed him? Thou shalt follow me afterwards. Here's a great thought here. You see, in the 13th chapter, he said, hereafter, afterwards you'll know what I've done to you. 14th chapter, thou shalt follow me afterwards. Same 13th chapter, I mean. Oh, this marvelous afterwards of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. Lord. You do want to follow him, don't you? Sin. How much of it do you want? Would you like a little? Would you like the terms to be less? Would you like the standard lowered? What is it you really want? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, to be like him. To have the light of life. Glory, glory, glory. You won't walk in darkness then. You'll have the light of life. As it really is. As it originally was. As it was revealed on the earth. As it is in heaven now. I'm so glad that the Holy Ghost has come to include us all up into that one life. I'm thrilled with it. And to be able to live it. Oh, glory. Let's love one another, shall we? Let's love one another as we should love one another. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For this cross that really deals with self and sin is a very adaptable cross. God adapts it to every situation in life. You'll always have to walk this way. Always. Praise the name of the Lord. You'll find it tomorrow. Amen. It's so thrilling, isn't it, to walk this way of the cross. If you say that you are a believer, if you say a spiritual believer, you'll find it everywhere. Calvary was unique. And yet all the uniqueness of God is to become commonplace with us. Let that sink right in. All the uniqueness of God is to become commonplace with us. Let me illustrate it to you from the life of Jesus, and then I think I must stop. I never want to stop once I start. Let me go back with you into Luke's Gospel. And chapter 3, right at the beginning of the Lord's ministry, he'd just come out of Jordan. He just really began to be 30 and so on. And he comes up out of Jordan and being full of the Holy Ghost in chapter 4 of Luke's Gospel, he's led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And he eats nothing, and he's tempted of the devil. And the devil says, now, if you're the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. So the first thing he did was to apply the cross to himself. He said, no. Well, he didn't say no. He applied the cross to his flesh. You see. Isn't that a tremendous thing? And you'll find all the way through the temptations. Jump off here. See all these kingdoms of the world. I'll give you all those. Just fall and worship me. Give you all this. Just do this. Just do the other. Jesus, no. It was the cross, you see. The cross. I'll have the cross. Praise God, I'll have the cross. I'll have the cross. It was there, you see. And because he had the cross, and only because he preferred the cross, you'll find it's written lower down in the chapter, in verse 14, that he returns in the power of the Spirit. The power comes from the cross. Every time. It doesn't come from the anointing. It comes from the cross. Every time. Of course, you have to have the anointing. But without the cross, the anointing runs out. Amen. The whole marvelous and glorious truth, beloved, lies here. Don't run away. If Jesus has washed your feet, you've got to go to Calvary. Amen. All the way. Lord, I go to my Father. I ascend. I ascend. You got the ascending life? That was when he was ascending a glorious, glorious offering to Father. That's why lots of people don't live the ascension life. They don't go to Calvary. Because ascension lies beyond the tomb. That's right. Wonderful. Amen. Amen. You've come out of the tomb, have you? Amen. Marvelous. Oh, beloved, I suppose in the long run it's always difficult to really tell people what goes on in here when God talks to you. Isn't it? And so I look round at you all, and all please look at me, not that I'm important, except with love in your eyes, as I want to look on you, and say, hallelujah. Just keep going. You just keep going. There's that ahead of you. And the tragedy of it all is always this, and this is what breaks so many people's hearts, really. People that don't understand in the sense that Jesus understood. They have an apprehension of it up here, but never a comprehension of it here. And because they apprehend it here, they go, you know, just gone a little bit further. That's what they were, only one step off, but they turn. They followed him, and just at the moment it seemed they were going through. How many times have you been like that? Love one another. What is it? O ocean of mercy, oft trembling I stood the brink of thy wonderful soul-cleansing flood. I never really plunged in. But you see, now I've come once more to the edge of this life-cleansing sea. I plunge neath the waters. I plunge neath the waters. I plunge neath the waters. They roll over me. That's right. And we go through with God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Jesus will sanctify your feet again to walk his ways. If you couldn't take it first time, says, well, Lord, he said, go and sin no more. A dangerous subject if you preach this way. I preached it not so long ago at a place. I've never preached this particular line before in my life that I've preached you tonight. Why should I? When God pours it all fresh as you sit on your seat, you don't need to keep going back over the old. The thing is that I was preaching along this line not so very long ago, and people that were great workers for God found they couldn't go out. They found they couldn't do any work. They seemed to be all robbed of their power because they'd heard me preach that Jesus doesn't expect us to sin anymore. I thought, oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. They were broken. They couldn't do anything. They had to stop off. They couldn't get on with the work that they'd come to do. It's an amazing thing. The amount of gospel understanding that's in some people's hearts is, Jesus is always expecting me to sin. He knows. Whereas Jesus is not expecting you to sin. Amen. And if you're expecting yourself to sin, you're needing a mental change. Amen. Jesus is expecting you to keep your robes clean. That's what he's expecting of you. Jesus is expecting of you and me to walk in the light. That's what he's expecting of you and me. Wonderful, isn't it? Yeah, he is, isn't he? Lovely, isn't it? Praise him. Glory. Let's pray, shall we? Let the Lord really minister this to all our hearts. Amen. If Jesus was expecting you to sin, you know what the devil could come and say to you tonight? He doesn't think much of you then, does he? Amen. He doesn't think much of you. But he does, he thinks all heaven of us, and all his blood, and all his death and resurrection, he thinks that of us. Let your soul rise to meet his expectations.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Crown him King of Glory.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Thank him for honoring you like that.